This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Glad to have you here with us on Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester with you on a Monday, getting ready for another big week of sports, another big week of snow here in the Kansas area. Not looking forward to that, but we'll help you power through. Happy on your way to work day as well. We're sitting here, we're rocking and rolling. We got Max Power in studio. You can give us a call at 869-1240. That is the number to reach us. You can get in touch with us on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. Those are all available for you as well. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. We've got all kinds of giveaways today. We got to get into a busy college basketball weekend. It's going to be a fun one. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, happy Monday. Good to see you today. Glad to be here with everybody and looking forward to jumping right in.
Let's get into it. It was an interesting college basketball weekend, wildly disappointing on two fronts and pretty exciting on the other, quite frankly. Wichita State gets its biggest win. Certainly at Charles Koch Arena, it feels like about 4 or 5 years with that win over Memphis. The place was rocking. It was great to see. It felt old school with the energy level from everybody, the crowd, the players, everything. It was great. It really was a blast of the past. And hopefully now as they get a little momentum and a win streak, they can carry some of that through the rest of the season. And then for KU and K-State, opportunities blown, quite frankly, to very, very, very disappointing losses for KU and K-State. One of could be the kind of loss that knocks you out of the NCAA tournament. Not quite there yet, but real, real close for K-State. And for KU, just the realization, I think, that this team's not nearly as good as we think it can be. We'll see what happens. They may fall out of the top 25 today, which is wild to think about for the preseason number one team in the country with everything they had coming back, plus the work they did in the portal. But here we are on a Monday, and that's sort of the state of the three programs. Right now, if the NCAA tournament started, we'd have one team in as a mid-seed and two teams out. And it was a season where we thought we'd have two teams in for sure, and Wichita State would at least be in the conversation. That has not happened 2 years in a row. And quite frankly, it's sort of a repeat of last year in a lot of ways. And you know, I think in general terms, that kind of sucks, quite honestly.
Yeah, outside of a few moments here and there, it's been a wildly disappointing college basketball season. I would say overall, when you're comparing and contrasting all three of these teams, you know, Kansas started off pretty strong. They had some really good non-conference wins, but it's been, pretty mediocre ever since then. Kansas State, you know, outside of just the three game or the six game winning streak that they had, where they were knocking off the top 25 teams that they were doing in succession and order. It, you know, definitely gives you a taste in your mouth of what could have been for the Wildcats. And then for Wichita State, yeah, I mean, you know, we know the struggles with the Shockers. That was a great win for them. Yes, on when was that? Yesterday against Memphis. And so, you know, again, it's kind of a what could have been a little bit for Wichita State as well. You know, that being said, I mentioned this on social media yesterday. I certainly didn't have on my bingo card that out of the three games over the weekend that KU and K-State would both put up stinkers against teams that are not in the top 25, but then Wichita State would beat a team in the top 25. Certainly didn't have that one planned.
Yeah, look, K-State's loss is far more forgivable on the road at BYU than the KU loss to Utah. That's just the way it is. Like that's the one that really... Now, the implications of K-State's loss are probably larger, I guess we could say. But as far as expectations, that was the one that you didn't really think a whole lot about. Utah's not that good. They're just not when you're KU anyway. And now we sit here and look at them. BYU, you know, leaped up there with K-State. I mean, with KU in the standings of the Big 12. If that, you know, so K-State going on the road and losing at BYU, that was outside of the three, you know, power games, you could call them, that they had left. This was the one, this was the next hardest game. And so that one, and it's the same thing that got them, right? A slow start. It's always, they have that one bad run in a game. They couldn't overcome it this time on the road in that place. KU kind of just from start to finish, like, you know, just what, and we'll dig into all this. We've got Wyatt Thompson joining us next segment to talk about the K-State piece of this, but it's been such a strange year for college basketball, and it is, it's just not good. It's just not good, right? Like, this is not what we expected collectively at all. And I think of, you know, it's dumb to say who's been the most disappointing of the three. Because they've all on their own different levels have been disappointing. I think if you're a fan of any of those teams, you would say, well, mine is the most disappointing, right?
I mean, I was going to say it was KU. But, you know, when you're preseason number one and you've got, you know, a loaded roster, and then this has been the output, you know, the outcome for this team. I think it's got to be KU, because I think some national title expectations, or at least hopes, with this team going into the season. And that's way out the window now.
But at least they're still going to have the opportunity to play for it. You know, like K-State's not even going to, you know, K-State needs a miracle now to even reach the tournament in a year where we thought they might be in line to try to play games here as a, you know, a two, a three, a seed, you know, whatever that seed might have been. And for Wichita State, I think, you know, that's amazing that they got that win and they need to build on it. But the impending doom of that program is a little different, I think, based on what we've seen. So they're all bad. That's what I mean. Like, it depends probably on who you're a fan of. Whichever team you're a fan of is probably who you feel like has had the most disappointing run, because it's been disappointing for you as a fan of that team. And it's and we'll get into all of it. Except, you know, I don't want to say anything negative about Wichita State today. That's the kind of win, honestly, that can turn the tides of a program. And I don't want to like overstate that, but look, on a four game win streak now, if they can carry that game into some momentum, they've got a tough one immediately Thursday. At least they get some time before it. But if they can carry that into winning a bunch of these games down the stretch and they still find themselves somewhere in the top half of the AAC, I think you could at least get on board with that, right? So, like, you could look at this win as a linchpin for the program if things go well. There's no doubt about it. That's the biggest win they've had. Everyone kept bringing up the ranked game against Houston in 21. Maybe you just go back that far.
I think you do. I mean, it's the biggest win in 4 years. It's definitely the signature
of the Paul Mills era. Well, sure, and it may, but like, that's what I mean. It may have even surpassed that one. And I think I was at that one. It was a great environment. But that team that's been such a thorn in the Shockers' side this year, when they are real good, it just feels really nice. And the circumstances of the game, too. Look, it's an overtime win, and we're going to dig into it. But it's an overtime win, right? It's a win where it felt like two or three different times where, like, the air went out of the balloon and they just kept battling back. I think that all played into it too, but we'll get into all of this. We're going to have K-State talk next with Wyatt Thompson. So stay tuned for that. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on KFH. We are glad to have them with us. We're going to give away lots of prizes today. We're going to give away a cruise, an opportunity, I should say, to get on a cruise. We're going to give away an opportunity to get out to Vegas for some March college basketball. We're going to give out some HTO. So we have all of those things coming for you. Again, lots of different ways to get in touch with the program. You can do that each and every day here on Sports Daily. Glad to have you with us. It's all Brockton Caster on a Monday. We'll be right back.
If I was governor, I'd sure find better things to do with my time.
Like what?
Like getting Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday back as separate paid holidays. President's Day. What a ripoff.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. You can listen to KFH Radio for your chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas in March. Winning's easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, listen to KFH Radio. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. It includes travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas, plus $20,000 spending cash. Get all the info with the national contest right there at KFHradio.com. Stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. We welcome you back in here on a Monday. Wyatt Thompson joining us bright and early from Utah. Wyatt, we appreciate it. Did you guys get a preview of this storm blowing in here? I assume you did. Whatever's coming. How's it looking?
It's not so bad here. It's not nearly as cold as it is in Kansas. And frankly, we were supposed to get some snow yesterday, and we went to grab a hamburger last night, and on the way, it's probably 30-ish degrees. We had snow, sleet, and rain in about a 12-minute drive.
Gross.
But generally speaking, it's been pretty good. The basketball, not so much, but the weather's been okay, and it's frigid in Kansas and apparently going to get worse before it gets better. And, of course, we get home in the middle of the night when it's really happening, I think, so... Yeah, here we go again. Seems like we've been on the road forever, by the way. This trip is hard.
It's a hard, and it didn't start, you know, we had hoped it, you know, wouldn't start hard, but it did. And now it's got to finish tonight. There's no, you know, quick nature to it. So let's start with Saturday. What happened Saturday?
Well, to be honest, when you go back and you look at K-State's 6-game winning streak, for me, it all started with energy. And that led to good offense, good defense, a lot of good everywhere. In this game, the fight early easily was won by BYU. I thought they set the tone. K-State early did a good job of taking away their threes. I thought, and the evidence of that would be a 3-of-14 start for one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league. And they have several guys that can shoot the ball. But sometimes when you take things away, you give up something. And I thought the aggressiveness of BYU with their bigs and the results of that put K-State behind the eight ball early. It was 11-9 at the first media timeout, but then from the under 16 to the under 12, that segment of the game probably decided it, because it went from 11-9 to like 26-12. And when you look at the big guys, and I'm basically talking about Kay Bakeda, who had 9 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 blocks, he probably was the main guy. But then Traore also was good. He had 11-4 with a block. You combine that, K-State also goes 9-for-33 from the floor in the first half. They just were never in sync, really, from the get-go. And I credit some of it to BYU. And I think, as Coach mentioned in postgame, he felt like he did a poor job. and the team did a poor job of getting ready for BYU. The truth is BYU made some adjustments and played a little different than they had been playing, and I think it shocked K-State a little bit, honestly.
It certainly seemed to me, Wyatt, that that BYU made a concerted effort to do what they could to limit or at least try to shut down the combination of Coleman Hawkins and David Gasson. Those guys combined were 5 of 16 shooting, and they didn't shoot the ball well in general, but I also felt like that was a little bit of the BYU game plan, was to do what they could to shut them down.
100%. And when you look at the box and you see Gasson goes 3 for 7 with 6 points and 6 rebounds, and Coleman is 2 of 9 with 6 points and 8 rebounds, you're probably not going to win most road games in this league doing that. You might be able to get by with it a little bit at home with the home crowd juice and that kind of stuff if you have some other guys step up. But then you look at Max Jones and Brendan Hawson combined, were 6 of 20. You know, there's other than Doug, there was really nowhere to turn, and that was the disappointment of it. You know, K-State did kind of get back a little bit in the second half. And by a little bit, I meant within shouting distance, okay? It wasn't like they were threatening to win the game at that point, but you're down at halftime big. It's 40 to 22, and I think they got back to within maybe 11 or 12. And then in a heartbeat, you know, it's back to 18 to 20, and just don't have much chance.
There's just so little wiggle room in everything that K-State does down the stretch. I don't know that loss sinks them. If you look at the net this morning, it had almost no impact on K-State, kind of like a lot of these wins have had almost no impact, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to take a collection of work. I don't think that one singularly did it, but I also don't think they can lose probably any of the next 5, maybe 6. I mean, what do they got here? 6-1 down the stretch put themselves squarely back in the conversation?
It's interesting talking to a couple of people yesterday associated with the program. One being an assistant coach, and we were talking a little bit about what remains, and he hit on that a little bit too. He said, look, we want to win all the games, right? But understanding in this league on the road, it's difficult. And he credited BYU too, a little bit like I did, that they kind of messed K-State up from the get-go, and the Cats never recovered. But because of the loss, it isn't like the absolute worst thing ever if you can come back and play really well the rest of the way out. Now, again, that puts more pressure on you. The wiggle room is a lot less, as you said. And frankly, it probably starts tonight here. They just beat Kansas, as you guys know, played decently well in doing it. Clearly, KU wasn't their best by 1,000 miles, I suppose. But this is a team that I think you can get on the road. You've also got some winnable games coming up. We'll see how it plays. But that's the thing that probably is the biggest stinger for me, is that they were 39th in the net, BYU, coming in. And if you got that one on the road, it gives you another road win, which helps the resume. You beat a top 40 team in the net, which helps the resume. And those things didn't happen.
It was another big game on Saturday, Wyatt, for Doug McDaniel, and we talked about him a little bit a couple minutes ago, but just his impact, even in a losing effort for the Wildcats. I mean, without his offensive output on Saturday, the outcome would have been significantly worse. So even when things are not going the way of the Wildcats, McDaniel has solidified himself as the main number one offensive option for this team, and just in general, what he brings on both ends of the court. That's encouraging, again, even when you do have an outcome like you do on Saturday.
I agree with you, Tommy. I think it's a good point, because Doug is, I think, in a really good place right now, mentally, physically, confidence-wise. I mean, if you look at him, it wasn't just he had 22 points. He was 9 of 16, right? Let's be honest, he's been really good lately, but he hasn't had many games of 9 of 16 and 3 of 7 from 3. Had just 2 turnovers. Now, he only had 2 assists, but part of that was, I mean, if you look at it, and I think this is telling, K-State had 25 made field goals in the game and only 6 assists. So they were a little discombobulated, right? But up and above and beyond, and to continue what you're saying there, his steady play, if he can keep that up, I don't think David and Coleman are going to play like that a lot the rest of the way out. And again, the margin of error is razor thin now, of course. But you hope with the growth of Moby, and you know, Moby had 4 points and 7 rebounds, and that may not sound like a lot, but when those other guys aren't doing a whole heck of a lot, it meant something for sure. And I think CJ is starting to figure some things out. You know, Max is what he is, but he had a 3-for-10 night. And this is going to sound like I'm knocking the officiating a little bit, and I wasn't overly happy with it, but I don't know that I'd ever seen a guy get knocked out of bounds and no call before. I mean, he literally got knocked out of bounds on the baseline on the end to our left. But it was a hard night for him because they were just muscling him up, and that's one thing they could do here at home. They've got some veteran guys, whether it's Foose or whether it's, you know, with Kay Bakeda or some of the Trevin Nell's been around a long time. Dallin Hall, those guys know how to play.
Well, yeah, that's part of the difficulty of going on the road is you don't always get the whistle. So they're still on the road. It's a quick turn. A situation where maybe a quick turn is a good thing. We saw what Utah was able to do to KU. What do we need to look for tonight?
Well, I think the two biggest guys you have to try to cover up was the obvious one is Gabe Mattson. He's been around a long time, played nearly 120 games, had 5 threes against Kansas. Now, he takes a lot of shots. I noticed this going into the weekend. I put it into perspective for you. I think it was 242 shots for Coleman Hawkins, 310 in roughly the same amount of games for Gabe Mattson. That's a fairly significant difference, but he can score, and he's streaky. You have to not let him get off early, I suppose. And then the other guy is a forward by the name of Ezra Asar. If you watch the KU game, you see him play with really, really good energy. Those two guys are pretty solid. The other guys, I think, are what I'll describe as pieces that they try to fit. And sometimes they're pretty good. Sometimes they're a little bit inconsistent. In this game, though, Wallin had 10 against Kansas, and it was, I think, only the third or fourth game he's been in double figures all year long. But they have some length at the rim, and they play a lot of guys. They play 10, 11 guys, so I don't know that you necessarily wear them out. But, again, I'll say it. I think it's a winnable game, but I'm sure, Kay, you thought that too, right? No question about that. So you just have to go and put yourself in a position to be in it late, I think. And they're just – the bottom line is just simply this. K-State cannot play like they played the other night and probably win this one either. They've got to be better, and they know it.
Wyatt, before we let you go, we'd be remiss to not mention and give you a couple minutes to talk about Greg Sharp, former voice of the Wildcats, had been at Nebraska for a long time, your predecessor there in Manhattan. You know, there aren't very many people that have been able to do what you do for a living for the Wildcats, and Greg Sharp was one of them and one of the best for sure. Passed away over the weekend after a battle with pancreatic cancer. Obviously, his impact is felt far and wide. I'll give you the floor if you have a couple minutes that you want to speak about that.
I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope I don't get too emotional about this. Greg was a friend and one of the best people I've known in the broadcast business over the years. Stan said one time that listening to him call a game was like sitting in a rocking chair, made you just so comfortable and so informed. And I thought that was as good a compliment as you could possibly give the guy, on top of the fact that he was all the things in life that you'd want. Great person, great husband, great father, a fighter to the end. I mean, he did it with grace. I think you could tell the kind of guy he was for how beloved he is at Kansas State, but also how Husker Nation took to him over the course of his time there, being the lead football and baseball guy. A special person. Whether you talk to me, Stan, Mitch Holtis, any of the people that really knew him, he, like the rest of us, I suppose, he always wanted to do this. He always had that dream. And boy, was he good at it. We're going to miss him. Hugely and supremely talented person. I'm just glad I got to spend a little time with him in the summer when that fight started to go downhill a little bit, because we had such a good day. A whole bunch of us drove up there and had lunch with him and stuff, and I'll never forget it. He's just a great, great, great guy.
Greg Sharp over the weekend. We appreciate that, Wyatt, taking the time for that. And it's a big hole for K-State Nation. I know it is, and I know it's hard for you, so we do appreciate you giving us that insight there on that line.
Absolutely. Thank you, fellas. I appreciate that.
We'll have Wyatt on the call tonight. So stay up late with Wildcats, see if they can get right back on track, because it will be a late night. We appreciate the early morning here. We'll all power through it with you, Wyatt, and see if they can't get this thing turned around. Look, it's not the end of the world as long as they get right back to where they were and they get opportunity to do it. So hopefully they can.
Good effort and make some shots early, kind of set the tone. You probably have a shot. Let's see if they can do that. I hope they can.
All right. Wyatt Thompson, we appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, fellas.
You know, Tommy, I think K-State built themselves a little bit of cushion for that one because they were able to get both Arizona and Kansas. So it doesn't have to be a huge deal. The net certainly doesn't think it's highly impactful. Certainly would have been more impactful had they been able to win it. But that's probably it, right? Like, you can't really, and it's hard to say it now because everybody has enough games left to play where, yeah, they could lose another game and get in. Like, but man, it'll be close. And they are going to have to, a part of the reason you liked their chances is because they're catching some sort of national momentum. I don't think their net's going to make it a shoe-in. I don't think anything they can do outside of winning the Big 12 tournament the rest of the way will make it a shoe-in, because they'll have too many losses for that to be the case. At 12, now you're in that range where you've got too many. So we'll see, but they need to recapture some of that. Man, K-State's red hot. They're the best team in the nation right now. That they got to recapture some of that, or it's going to be tough.
It was encouraging to see Joe Lunardi after the games on Saturday, yesterday, putting out bracketology, and Kansas State was still in the next four out. So, you know, they obviously didn't play their way in or improve their standing at all, but at least they didn't totally drop out to where they weren't even listed. So there's still work to do for sure. You know, look, I think that if they can, they're going to have to go on another, you know, five or six game winning streak like they did before. And if they can do that, if they can close out Big 12 play that way, then you're looking at 19-12 to end the regular season. You win a game or two in the Big 12 tournament. You're looking at a resume of 21-13, probably somewhere around there. Is that enough to get you in? It might very well be if you can take a look at, you know, those big wins they had early in the conference season. So it's going to come right down to the wire if they can get back to where they were playing before. If they don't, if they stumble again, well, then that conversation is out the window.
Yeah, and look, the Lunardi has them in. That's great, but they're not like a consensus right now because the others.
They don't have them in. He doesn't have them in. He has them as the next four out
on his sheet.
Listed in the sheet. Right.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't. So they're all really good at what they do. It just, I think it speaks to the fact that they're very much a who knows, on the fringe of being like out, right? And if they're on the next whatever it is for, that means they've got a lot of teams they have to jump. Now, this team is good enough to go on a run in the Big 12 tournament. They've beat the best, you know, outside of Houston. But if, you know, if they can win a couple of tournament games too, that's also going to mean a great deal for them. So here we go. Win against Utah and everything's right back at it. But man, if they slip, that's where it's going to be hard.
I do think, going back to my point with Wyatt about Doug McDaniel, the fact that even in a game where offensively things were not coming easy for the Wildcats and shots were not falling for Kansas State, Doug McDaniel was still able to be effective offensively. I think that's important, because if it was just a poor collective outing overall for Kansas State, that'd be hard to bounce back 48 hours later and try to find a way to get things in a groove again. If you can continue to have a consistent Doug McDaniel, even if other pieces aren't falling, even if other pieces aren't working in a game against a team like Utah, I mean, let's be real, Utah's not as good as BYU is. That's going to help out Kansas State. So that was encouraging that even in a loss, even in a double-digit loss over the weekend on the road, Doug McDaniel was still consistent. That should bode well again tonight.
I'll take it a step further. I think he, and because Hawkins, if you want to know the impact of Coleman Hawkins, I think you can look at that game. It was the worst one he's played in a while, like a long time. Maybe it's one of his worst of the season. Tommy, it is a really kind of just like gross Monday, I think, for KU fans. Rick is fired up as he knew he would be on a Monday. Great KU fan, says nobody on the team cares. How could you not see it coming from a mile away? You could see it. Everyone could see it coming a mile away. You just don't know when it's coming, right? You know this is coming from a mile away, but like, when is it coming from a mile away? This happened to be one of those times. And you know, you can see that, but then you can see a 17-point win against Iowa State coming from a mile away. And it's so unpredictable when this team's going to show up and be like the best version of it. I'm not even really sure in totality what it is. But it is, and they're not nearly as good as we thought they would be. I think everybody would agree that they're far more talented than they were a year ago. And that might make this even more disappointing, because it's just like, I don't know what it is that they can't figure out and why they can't find any consistency whatsoever on a team full of seniors, on a team with as good a portal class as there was, like all of it. It is just so wildly, wildly disappointing on 1,000 different levels.
Well, I think what's been shocking, and this has been a development, I think, that's relatively new, and I'll explain why, but relatively new, at least over the last couple of weeks, is watching that game against Utah over the weekend. There were a lot of individual efforts that were made. There wasn't a whole lot of collective efforts that were made, I felt like, with this team. It was almost kind of like, and DeJuan Harris even said it after the game, that guys were playing for the name on the back of their jersey, not the name on the front of their jersey. And I definitely agree with that, because I felt like there wasn't a whole lot of collective buy-in in that game. That's a relatively new development. I think that what we've seen is this team has progressed from a really good team at the beginning of the season to a really good team playing poorly at about the middle of the season, to now they're just not a very good basketball team. And I think that that's kind of been the progression that at least I've noticed from the start of the season to now, where for me, it's less about like, man, hey, they've got the talent. They've got what they need. They just need to execute. To, are they really even that good? Because I don't really feel like, when I'm watching them, that, yeah, they might have raw talent individually. They might have individually talented players, but I certainly don't feel like they're a very talented team right now. I don't feel like they're playing like a very talented team. I just don't think that they're very good. And I think that that's reared its ugly head over the last few weeks.
It's a strange dynamic. I think they have a Hunter Dickinson problem. I do. I've felt that way all year. You know I have. It felt like I was being unkind early on, where I was like, I just don't know. But I think they're too reliant on him offensively, and he's just not the kind of physical force to be able to do that. Like, he's so gifted offensively. We can all see that. Like, his skill level is very high offensively. But then most of the other stuff feels like it's a bit of a liability, and they just can't overcome that. They're too reliant on him, and he's just not going to be able to be that for them. And they can't get anybody else to step up and be like, if I imagine, and it's hard for me to like, imagine if they had a guy like Ochai Agbaji on this team, not in the sense that like, yeah, he's awesome and was a Naismith guy, but I mean somebody else that when you walk into the gym, it's not like that's the dude, right? Cause I just don't think Hunter Dickinson is the dude, but they need him to play like he is and be that. And he's just not, and they don't, and then they can't get anybody else to just be that. Right. And I think that's a problem for them all year. I think it was probably a problem for them last year, even though we maybe didn't realize it as much. But it's just like, this particular combination is not the right one. And they've been sort of stuck in it for 2 years. And it's not just him, right? It's that DeJuan Harris is not an offensive force. It's that KJ Adams is not an offensive force. So you put those three together, and like, it's too much on Hunter Dickinson. That's not what he is. And I think that's part of the problem. And I don't know what you do to fix it, because when it does work, it's good enough to beat anybody. I mean, that's the maddening part. Like, this is a team that is capable. I'm not saying they will, so don't misunderstand. But capable of, based on what we've seen this year, They can beat anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. Can they, you know, like, so it, I don't even, it's just so crazy that we've been doing this now for 2 years with this.
There are a lot of factors and a lot of things that play into it. You know, you mentioned the Hunter Dickinson element to it, which is all true. It's all well. And, you know, like that, I agree with you on that. There's also, I think, the DeJuan Harris and KJ Adams impact, where this isn't a knock on them. I just think it's reality that both of those guys are about, they're at about their ceiling. I don't think they're getting any better. Like, who DeJuan Harris is and who KJ Adams is, we see it night in and night out. It is what it is. Like, and kind of same way with Hunter Dickinson too. He is who he is. I just don't think that with DeJuan Harris especially, like, there really wasn't even a time early on in his KU career where I looked at him and I thought, yep, that's the guy that's going to get 35 plus minutes a game. I think that he does nice things. I think he can be a good piece for this team. Don't get me wrong, but the lion's share of the, you know, distribution responsibility is on his shoulders running that offense. And I'm not sure that, like, not that he's not capable of doing it. I'm just not sure that, like, I think he's at his apex. I think KJ Adams and the spark that he brings, that's what he does. And I don't think that putting the lion's share of responsibility in, whether it's on offense or defense, in that position is really, it's not doing what it needs to do. I think that he's about hit his ceiling as well. Then you combine all three of those guys and the fact that they're all about at their ceiling and they're not going to do anything more than what they're already doing, with newcomers on the team who are just wildly inconsistent and they have short leashes, and depending on how they play in a certain game, they may end up, you know, sitting on the bench, really outside of Zeke Mayo. The other ones are like that for sure. Some days they have it, some days they don't. And it turns into what we see right now for the Jayhawks. Three veterans who are performing about the best that they can do, but it's not enough. And then newcomers who you never know what you're going to get from them.
And maybe the leash is too short. And I know that that's a lot of fans think that it is, that it's way too short for the other players. That's not anything new for Bill Self, but it is something that maybe needs to be readjusted in the portal era, because pretty soon you're not going to have anybody with the kind of experience and trust that he has in those three guys. I mean, if you just look at the roster right now, like, that experience, however it looks, is not going to be there, that trust for Bill Self next year. So it's going to take an adjustment for a guy who's been one of the best in the business to see if he can readjust to this way of thinking. And there's a decent chance that he can. There's plenty of old,
it brings up learning new tricks.
Look at Rick Pitino right now.
Yeah, it brings up a great question, and it brings up, you know, I think kind of what the discussion has become is, in this world of college basketball, what Bill Self has been able to do well over the course of his career, he's not able to do at the extent that he used to be able to. Not the same way. Like, think of all of the guys that stayed at KU that he developed over multiple years. You mentioned Ochai Agbaje. He's probably the poster child for that. And the steps that he took from year one to year two to year three to year four, you know, Jalen Wilson was that way. Like, all of these guys, Devontae Graham was that way. Like, taking multiple steps forward.
David McCormick, a guy who started in the doghouse, right? Like, he couldn't get out of the doghouse for like 3 years. And then he was the reason, you know, the biggest reason they won an NCAA tournament. Like, it's,
they had the luxury, and Bill Self was great at this, the luxury of developing players and having them come along over time. You don't really have that luxury anymore in college basketball. And so I think it's going to be, it's a really intriguing discussion to have. Like, how can Bill Self adjust? And keep in mind, there have been multiple times over the years that he's brought in one and dones, like really highly touted one and dones.
Yeah.
Did they win national championships with one and dones? Not really. No, like, you know, like those guys made major impacts for sure individually, but it was the teams that he was able to develop over time that ultimately took home the biggest prize.
I'm trying to think of the big key transfers that have come in. Kevin McCullough was one, and Kevin McCullough stuck around for a while and then got hurt. So
Remy Martin was probably the most.
Remy Martin, one, you got to remember, wasn't impactful until the very end of the season.
You're right.
And so those two come to mind the last couple of years, and I'm trying to make sure I'm not forgetting anybody. He's had transfers though, even before the transfer portal. So at least the current state of the transfer portal, but it's going to take an adjustment. And that's where it gets back into these big three. Look, when Harris and Adams and Dickinson are at their best, KU's really hard to beat. Like that's, you know, some of their best wins are when those three are collectively playing well. It's what has to happen when they're not. What does that adjustment look like? KJ Adams was really bad against Utah. Hunter Dickinson was, by his standards, really bad against Utah. So, like, you can't have that happen. Those guys can't have 9 fouls collectively. And so what is the adjustment then if any one of the three is not feeling it? And which of these other players are going to get enough trust over the next month, which could happen? Look, at the end of the day, there is time with adjustments for KU to be better than... No, is it good enough? I don't know. But can they be better than what we saw on Saturday? That's where I think, okay, we've got a month left. And I do think in the final months of seasons, at least in the 10 years that I've... Or 11 now, or 12, whatever it is, that I've followed Bill Self programs closely, there are certainly years where they have gotten better in this small stretch of time that usually comes, and I say this all the time for KU, it usually comes in that they develop into this defensive powerhouse. Now, can that happen with the newer players? I don't know. But is there room for one of these guys outside of Zeke Mayo to right this second take on that bigger role? And I think that's...
Is there a chance? Sure. Is it likely? No, I don't think
well,
so.
And that's where it goes into those players, though. Are they capable? And that's what I don't know.
But I think it goes deeper than that. I really genuinely do, because the word that you used it like 3 times in that, you know, narrative that you just laid out there. And that word is adjustment. It's going to require adjustments from Bill Self that I don't think he's going to do. Because keep in mind, when teams that Bill Self has coached have been able to really make the adjustments like deep in a season and become quote unquote defensive powerhouses and things like that, by and large, you're talking about players that have already been on the court for a long period of time. Like they've earned the trust of Bill Self. So you're talking about adjustments with current players that are on the court that are getting the lion's share of the minutes. In this regard, I think you're going to need to see players that are not getting the lion's share of the minutes get more.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
And then be able to develop. And that's not going to happen.
That's what I'm talking.
That's not going to happen.
There, we'll look at this more in the second hour because we're right up against it. There's a lot to discuss. We'll get to the Shockers as well in hour number 2. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.